Father, in the holy name of the Messiah Jesus, thank you so very much for your chesed, for this loving kindness that we have grown to know, love, and rely upon. We so thank you for the mercy that you have showed us in the Messiah Jesus. We give you praise and thanks for that, and ask that you would open up our hearts today to grow in our love for you, in fellowship with you. Amen. So the goal of this message is that we might grow in our love for God and grow in love for God with one another. So this is something which I have longed for. Our fellowship, we want to be a community of people who know and love God within the framework of our relationships. And this is in order to help to enable that. And we're going to explore a way. And at the end of this message, I am going to be asking you to we won't be spending a tremendous amount of time, but let's say a few minutes talking to the Lord and seeing as to what it is that, like, he will give you to encourage your love for him. It's something which is a healthy practice, because the reality of it is, at least from my perspective, that the reason that we're called and that we have the grace to hear aspects of the communication that comes from God is to get to know the God behind the communication. So it's more than a message. It's the person who is giving the message, and everything that comes from him ends up being like a window into his nature. And he's worthy of more love than we could ever give him, but he's growing us up into loving him more. So we're going to take a look at some underlying principles about walking in the light of God's love. And to begin, let's establish this priority. Yes, Jesus wants us to love God. He said so. The Lord said to this professional clergyman, you shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. This is the most important commandment. And through walking in that, we most enter into fellowship with and conformity to the eternal heart of God. Because as it is written, God is love. And this verse, it's talking about Trinitarian love. It's not talking about God being just beaming love, beaming love, beaming, 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 life, light coming. No, you see, the reason that God is love is that within the Trinity, there is always someone to love. When the Father saw Jesus, he's like, I love, and this is an eternal relationship, right? It's an eternal relationship. But the Father and the Spirit, they love the Lord Jesus. They love him. And when the Son of God looks at his Father, he loves the Father. Within the triune God, there has always been this love relationship, so that if you looked up the word love in the dictionary, you would see the relationship that God has with himself as Trinity. And so this Trinitarian love, this one God, there's love within himself. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves being loved by the Father. And the Son, who loves being loved by the Father, loves the Father. You understand what I'm saying? So, dear ones, like this God, when we actually enter into loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're entering into fellowship with God, who relates to himself that way. So, I remember, this is a sort of a funny story. I'm driving home from a town called Farmingdale. Some of you may know of Farmingdale. It was probably a farm at one time. It no longer is. My son, Benjamin, he was about 8 years of age, and we're coming back from a piano lesson. He said to me, Dad, why does God want us to worship him? Is he some sort of egomaniac? And I'm going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. You know that thing, my feet don't fail me now. That's how I felt. And I was able to speak with him about something which has stuck with me throughout these years. He's 37 now, 38. I don't even know how old he is, something like that. And what I said to him was, like, when the Lord shows you something that he loves about himself, and you sort of like you, the words I use now is, and you resonate with it. It's like God the Father says, look at my son. He's so humble. And it's like, he really is humble. I love him too. And then as we continue to dwell on that, all of a sudden the appreciation begins to turn to awe, because when you're talking about humility, I mean, Jesus is so humble. I mean, God is so humble. It just begins to blow you away. I mean, it's just deep. It's remarkable. It's intense. And so it turns into worship. It turns into worship. So that's sort of like what it is that I spoke with him about. And that's where I'm going tonight. Our entering into fellowship with God, about God, becomes worship. Jesus said, we worship what we know. The Lord said, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews, but an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit. That should be capitalized. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. It's a toss-up as to whether or not it has to do with attitude or by the Holy Spirit. So that's why I think I have that capital S and a slash and a small S there. It both works. So we're called to be those worshipers. And for this to happen, we need to be in relationship with God and with one another. John wrote, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus the Messiah. And a closely connected scripture to that is, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Amen. Stop there. Now, in John's writings, light is life, like the life was the light of all men, and light reveals truth and reality, and light is also love, holy morality. Like in 1 John, it says that if you say, you know, that you love God, but you hate your brother, that you're walking in darkness. Darkness is connected to hatred. Light is connected to love. Love and truth. Darkness is like, it's created, it's related to hatred. It's related to this non-love. That's what darkness is. The world is filled with darkness. The world is filled with anger. Do you understand what it is that I'm saying? And so this matter of light being like life, light reveals truth and reality, but light is also love. It's holy morality. And fellowship with God is based upon truth, reality about who he really is. And the result of that is life and love. We're called to love God in fellowship with God and with one another. As it is written, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus, the Messiah. He is in the light. We are to walk in the light. And I have a process for fellowship in the light that I want to share with you. It has to do with growing in love with God. And I have like an acronym, I guess it's called. Well, not. All right, so I don't have. Ah, there it is. Yeah, ACT. Ask for illumination about what God loves about himself. Communicate or confide with somebody else what it is that you believe you received, and then thank him together. That touches me. It's like, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus the Messiah. Now, illumination from God about who God is, it comes from the Holy Spirit in line with the scriptures. It's released through the scriptures. It's released through prophetic interaction. It's released through fellowship with the family of God. All those things in line with and with the boundaries of the scriptures. Because as you may know, our experiences can come from a whole bunch of different sources. But the word of God stands sure and true. And if we will allow the word to actually provide boundaries, we can be open to the things of the Spirit without fearing that we're going to end up being deceived, because the scriptures provide the boundary. And if we are also open and vulnerable in sharing with one another, especially people who are grounded in the word, about what it is that we believe that we've got, well, we don't have to fear going off the rails. Now, I was insane before I came to know the Lord. And I'm not saying that lightly. It was a rough several years that was like drug-induced, occult-induced. It was a crazy person. And I responded to light and to conviction. I sort of like crawled back to sanity. And when I got saved, I placed myself under the authority of the words of the apostles, the prophets, and the incarnate Son of the living God. And so, like, what was funny was, I was like, these people, they don't have, speaking of Christians, they don't have any spiritual experiences. I'm going to turn to the Lord, I'm going to believe in Him, and I'm saying goodbye to all of my spiritual experiences. I wasn't expecting anything. And when I turned to Jesus on October 18th, 1972, and said to Him, "Lord Jesus, I receive You as my Savior and Messiah," I mean, these two guys are binding the devil. That brother over there is reading the Bible to me. And the power of God came on me. And I was like, what in the world is this? Because my smartness said, if God is everywhere and at all times, how can He move around? But God went like this and transformed my life. Transformed my life. But my determination to place myself under the word of God and to submit my understanding to those who had been in the faith before me and to seek to learn, it never stopped, and it still has not. Now, apart from obedience, why esteem and seek to fulfill the great command? The great command is what? It's the foremost command. It's the prioritized command. There's no command that's greater than you shall love the Lord your God with all you are, all you have, all of your potential, all of your resources. It's like love God. Why do that? Well, what's the reason for it? Well, your love for God is meaningful to God. Your love for God is meaningful to God. God loves your love. Now let's see how I did this. Ah, okay. Do the best I can. Your love for God is important to the God you love because you were created to be the type of creation whose love for the Creator is meaningful to your Creator. That's why your love is important to God. He created you to be the type of creation whose love for your Creator is meaningful to the Creator. And that's why we should seek to embrace this. And now I'm going to ask you to do something which I very rarely do. I'm going to ask you to repeat something along with me. It's written up there. Repeat after me. My love for God is important to the God I love because I was successfully created to be the type of creation whose love for the Creator is meaningful to the Creator. Now, He reveals Himself to us as being worth loving, and He shall reveal Himself. Well, why? Why will He reveal Himself to us as being like worth loving? Because our love for God is important to the God we love. Why? Because we were successfully created to be the type of creation whose love for the Creator is meaningful to the Creator. And as God's children, catch this, I hope. Our love for God images is similar to God's love for Himself. It's not on the same level. We probably are going to have to wait for, you know, like the resurrection from the dead and glorification, and then maybe a few billion years or something like that to begin to maybe even approach that. But there's something similar. There's something similar to what it is, how God loves Himself, that has been given to us. And He reveals Himself to be worth loving, and He shall reveal Himself. Well, why? Well, here's another reason. Another reason He will help you to love Him is this: He loves you and wants things to be well for you. Amen. We need His help for our love to grow and stay fresh. And so that's something that you might do. You ask. That's the A in act. And then you receive. And then we seek to, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. We confide or tell somebody else what it is that we've gotten from the Lord. And then, especially if it resonates, you thank Him together. Amen. It's something which is a simple formula, and it takes work. And it's not something which is easily, it's easy to do, and it's easy to put aside. Anyway, so here's the question I would like us to ask. Here it is. Ask and inquire. Inquire. What can you show me about yourself that you love about yourself that would motivate my love for you? Now, I found this prayer to be regularly answered when I ask God, and I believe He'll answer it for you too. When I was asking the Lord for confirmation as to whether or not to give this message, I went before the Lord and I said, with great respect, you have to understand, I seek to grow in my reverence for the Lord. And I spoke to Jesus. I said, Lord Jesus, you know, what is it that you love about the Father that I would love about Him too? And in my spirit, I just heard majesty. And it's like Jesus. And yeah, you see, the things that we know become alive to us when God speaks them. You can read the scriptures, and it's good to do that and to put our minds to work and to meditate on it. But when God comes and ends up lighting up the words, you know, it makes a difference. And so many of the things that I have received from the Lord about things that Jesus loves about the Father or things that Father loves about Jesus, it's stuff which I already knew. But when He said it, it's like all of a sudden my heart gets stirred. And by the way, I am still asking the Lord. It's like, Lord, you know, could you please speak to me about majesty? It's like, how do I relate to that? And I just have like this image in my heart of like mountains, you know, like majestic mountains. It's like this awe and beauty, awe, beauty, awe, beauty. Authority, awe, beauty, majesty. And Jesus loves that about His Father, I believe. I believe that the Spirit of the Lord spoke that to me to encourage me to share these things with you. What can you show me about yourself that you love about yourself that would resonate with me, that would motivate my love for you? Because I need my love for God to stay fresh. And I want it to grow out of relationship with Him. Now, why would He show me something about Himself? Well, your love for God is important to the God you love because you were created to be the type of creation whose love for the Creator is meaningful to your Creator. And we have something where this pattern is illustrated, and that's where we are right now. Moses said to God, I pray you, show me your glory. And He said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. Because all of that has to do with Moses' intercession concerning Israel's sin. They got through this. It's like God is saying, I will show compassion. Yeah, it sounds different than, and I will show compassion on those to whom I will show compassion, which isn't bad because it's true. But this is like God saying, this is what I want to do. So what happened? Yahweh descended in the cloud and stood there with Moses as he called upon the name of Yahweh. And then Yahweh passed by in front of him and proclaimed. Now, here's something which is important. When it says he called upon the name of Yahweh, there are two ways of being able to read he there. One of them is that Moses is calling upon the name of the Lord, and the other is that Yahweh, who descended, is calling upon the name of the Lord. So I just want to share that if you have various Bible translations, sometimes he will be capitalized. And going on into 14, Yahweh, a compassionate and gracious God. slow to anger and abounding in chesed and loving kindness and faithfulness, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. By the way, he does that to preserve society, to preserve a place of his testimony. Next, Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. He said, "If now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your own possession." So the Lord revealed himself in steps. He comes down, he stands with and moves before Moses. And what Moses experienced was not so much Yahweh speaking to Moses. It was Moses being brought into fellowship, hearing God's evaluation and love of himself. Yahweh is calling out to Yahweh in front of Moses. And the form of proclamation was meaningful. Yahweh passed by in front of him and proclaimed, "Yahweh, Yahweh." The personal name in the Bible, the personal name spoken twice, conveys strong emotion, affection, and love. For instance, the Messiah Jesus saying, "Mary, Mary," or God saying, "Abraham, Abraham." When you see the personal name of somebody spoken twice in a row, it's generally conveying love. And what we've got here is the pre-incarnate Yah functioning as the angel of the Lord, speaking of his love for Yahweh. God revealed himself to one person. Here comes the aspect of fellowship. He revealed himself to one person who shared his revelation with the nation, and this became part of their fellowship, like a creed. A God compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Moses took his experience and shared it with Israel, and then through the Hebrew scriptures with all who call upon the name of Jesus. Now, why did he do this? Why did he reveal himself to Moses, who openly spoke of this testimony to his people, so that it became enshrined in the Word of God? And this creed is all over the Old Testament. It's all over the Tanakh. It just is. Well, why did he do this? Because, why is he sharing this with us? Because you were created to be the type of creation whose love for the Creator is meaningful to your Creator. So my question would come, and this is rhetorical because you're here, do you love God? Do you want to love him more? Well, ask according to this pattern. No, I'm going to rely on Jan. Living God, you know my heart. You know what would specifically resonate with me. You know where I need to be mentored. You know where I need to grow up. Show me what you want me to see. And if you ask that, God will do that, whether it be immediately or over a specific period of time that's in God's hands. I have found, when I was putting this teaching together, I was asking God along these lines constantly, and it was like, revelation, revelation, illumination, illumination, constantly. And now I only ask this when I really feel as if I need to be sharpened, like I can get dull. My love for God can get dull. And so I'm looking to grow in my love for God in fellowship with God. Now, in the New Testament, a New Testament example of God revealing himself is this. Jesus said, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him." The Father reveals the Son, and Jesus reveals the Father. Now, what a hope for the knowledge of God, that of who God really is. This is part of our relationship with God right now, that you would have fellowship with us, John said. And our fellowship is with God and with the Messiah, Jesus. The Father reveals the Son. Jesus reveals the Father. In the light of this hope, we can ask, please reveal to me something you love about yourself that would resonate with me and increase my love for you and bring me into fellowship with you. Now, Paul prayed along these lines. I never stop giving thanks for you as I mention you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus the Messiah, our glorious Father, may give you a spirit, and I have it capitalized there, and I didn't determine to do that by myself, although I would have, but I found that it's capitalized in the English Standard Version because George mentioned the seven spirits of God. Well, part of that anointing is the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of knowing him, called the fear of the Lord. You know, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And so we can ask for light so that we might fellowship with Jesus about our Father. And one thing, I'm going into something that is very dear to me right now. One thing we can believe is that Jesus loved absolutely everything about Father. And so we can consider asking him, Lord, what do you love about Father that would make a difference to me today? Or over the next week or month or year. And one thing that Jesus loves about his Father is Father's holiness. When you see the way that Jesus spoke of his Father, there was nothing flippant. There was nothing cavalier. In fact, there was nothing so familiar that we see within the framework of charismatic and renewal circles. I mean, like he goes, Holy Father. Holy Father, and he goes, God, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you that you're revealing these things to these people here. And so here he said in John 17:11, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. My definition of holiness, God's holiness, is the sum of all of his attributes. It's the sum of all of his attributes. And an aspect of holiness that Jesus loved was the Father's goodness. Jesus said to this one person who said to him, good, he said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Now, we may be motivated to greater love for him through a revelation of his goodness. It is right to ask him for a revelation to further understand his goodness. The more we see how good he is, the more we shall love and revere him. And we never outgrow a need for the revelation of his goodness. Here's an exhortation that Peter wrote. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Now, this is a word from God, the pure milk of the word that nourishes its mother's milk. The woman's biology changes as the child grows and more and different types of nutrients are given to that child. And yet it's always given within the context of comforting presence. Here, Peter is saying, you know, and anybody think that Peter was spiritually mature? I think that he was. And he's saying, long for the milk of the word. Long for that which is going to cause you to be nourished and to be loved, to be comforted by God. This is a word that nourishes, revealed within the context of God's comforting presence. And it is right for us to long for illumination about God that will stir us to love him more. Peter was mature and was asking them to long for milk. Define milk? He did. He says, if you have tasted of the kindness of the Lord, his goodness towards us. And so, dear ones, stir up desire Ask and inquire. Hunger and thirst, seeking God first, and consider God's goodness, because it is. God's goodness is empowered by omnipotence, guided by wisdom, filled with omniscience, and is in every place at every time. His goodness is on a whole different level. We're considering holy goodness. Now, as we ask, seek, and knock, God will reveal more insights into his holiness that is worth loving. Well, why would he do that? He would do that because your love for God is important to the God you love, because you are created to be the type of creation whose love for the Creator is meaningful to the Creator. Could he do something like that? Yes, he could. And yes, he did. The person that's sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you was made to be the type of creation whose love for the Creator is important to the Creator, because God created you to be important to him, and that your evaluation of him, your appreciation of him, is like what that sister said tonight, like an arrow that goes into his heart, that pierces him. You know, I don't know that these are really the right terms to use, but I'm doing the best that I can to let you know that you really are the type of creation whose love for your Creator is important to your Creator, because he's such an extraordinary Creator that he was able to make that which was limited, I mean, animated dust, God have mercy, and cause our evaluation and love for him to be important to him, and thus the foremost command. He didn't just say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because it didn't mean anything to him. Come on. Now, I'm going towards the end of this message, and we'll end up having a time of waiting on the Lord and praying along these lines. The end time outcome of fellowship with God, about God, with one another. I'm talking about fellowship with God, about God, and sharing it with one another, is found in Malachi. Malachi 3:16-18. Then those who revered, who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book, a scroll of remembrance, was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Our love for him is based upon our knowledge of him that comes from him, that we share with one another, so that it becomes part of the property of the family of God. Yahweh, a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, right? It became part of it just wasn't written in that one place. It's in the Psalms. It's in the prophets. That's what it's like. And what you receive from the Lord, shared in humility, and sometimes these things can become so intimate that you would really not want to necessarily share it. So you would have to find someone that you trusted that you could confide in them, if you understand what I'm saying. Because you can end up feeling like so vulnerable because of what it is that the Lord has said. It's not just a matter of sharing, it's a matter of confiding. It's not just a matter of testimony, it's a matter of this really, wounded my heart with love, and I want to share with you what it is that I believe that the Lord has given to me. Our love for him is based on our knowledge of him that comes from him, and as we share it, it becomes the property of the family of God. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible that has given me some degree of assurance is this, 1 Corinthians 8:3, where Paul wrote, but if anyone loves God, he is known by him. If anyone loves God, he is known by the God he loves. And so what we're going to do now is I'm going to end up opening up some time for you to ask God for illumination, and then having received it, not to necessarily stand up and say what you've got, although I have done that in different places, but just to communicate or confide with another person And you can thank him together. And so let's do that. We'll just do that. It's like I wish that I had like the prayer up there, but basically it just goes like this. Like, Father, would you please reveal something to me that you love about Jesus that would resonate with me? Or, Jesus, would you please speak to me something about something that you really love about our Father that would resonate with me? And the result of it is that I might love God together with you, that I might love your Son together with you, that I might love our Father together with you. And so I'm going to ask the Lord to come as far as the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of the Son, this Holy Spirit who communicates to us. And I believe that he will share with you. I mean, this is a room which is filled with people that oftentimes will hear from the Lord. Let's see what he says. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, wonderful Father, would you please show, reveal, somehow communicate, whether it be through a Bible verse, a vision, something that comes up in their spirit. Lord, would you please reveal to them that which you love about yourself that would cause them, that would resonate with them. Or Jesus, would you please reveal something that you love about our Father that would resonate with them, that would help them to enter into fellowship with you and then with one another. So let's wait upon the Lord and see what he does.